Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, you wanted to start today with a quote.
Actually, I didn't, but you said that I should, so I will, because it was funny and I saw it on Instagram. Hot girl summer is almost over, which means fat bitch fall is coming up. It's our time to shine.
I am ready.
That's from The Real Ramblin' Ma. Somehow it ended up on my stories. I'm into it.
That sounds right.
Fat bitch fall. Like, that just rolls off the tongue.
Fat bitch fall. I'm ready. I also wanted to give a shout out to the listener that came up to me a couple weeks ago in the street and said, "Are you Eric J. Mack? I listen to your podcast." And I didn't catch her name, but she works at HBO and she was very sweet and she compared me to Countess Luann.
Oh my God. Wait, why?
Because she said, like, I was just talking to my friend about what I would do if I ran into a Bravo celebrity like Countess Luann. I was like, oh my God.
She called you a Bravo celebrity?
Yeah.
Holy sh**.
I know. So thank you. I didn't catch your name, but thank you for listening.
I keep shouting in the streets of New York, like, I'm Megan Segura. I host Daily Dish podcast, but no one looks. No one listens.
No one listens. Too many people screaming crazy things.
Right. True.
You just got to wait.
So I'm living vicariously through your experience.
Well, there you go. It'll happen for you. All right. What are we talking about today?
Okay. We have The Real Housewives of Potomac, Southern Charm Reunion Part 2. Kind of sad because this is officially it, like our last recap of Southern Charm for a while, and then The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Choo choo.
Also, an amazing interview with Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm,
which I am so jealous that you got to sit down with her, because I was also going to interview her with you, because we were both like, we need to do this together, because we're obsessed with her, and I had a meeting, so I had to go.
You had to sacrifice the interview of the season.
Truly. So I can't wait to hear that. I haven't heard anything from it yet.
It's so good.
Okay, well, let's talk Southern Charm then. So it starts off pretty much still talking about Catherine, sobriety, what's going on here.
Yes.
What I found really sad, actually, kind of separate from her sobriety, is it's one of the first times, or maybe not one of the first times, but she mentions that her mom is sick.
Right.
And as we just found out a couple weeks ago, her mom passed away.
Right.
So it's just so crazy when you know you're watching something that happened so long ago, and just to think that she was going through that. And I think she kind of credits that experience to maybe why she was a little jittery on Watch What Happens Live, why her nerves were kind of up. So it a little bit adds up, I think.
Mm. I asked Madison too, because like, if she's the person that was at Watch What Happens Live with Catherine, she should know definitively if Catherine was drinking or
That's
not.
That's true.
I'll let you listen for her answer, but I would say that in general, Madison was super supportive of Catherine. However, I know that she had not yet watched the reunion, and she wasn't out there for when Catherine was basically throwing their friendship under the bus, a la Carol with Tinsley during last season's Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Right, that's true. So that is what I'm a little confused about, is what is the relationship between Catherine and Madison? Because it sounds like everyone's trying to say they're friends, and Catherine is sort of backtracking on that a little bit, and she's like, well, she just, like, our kids played together. I don't really understand where they stand.
I think that they're friends, and that other people are like, that's fucked up, Catherine, because, like, if you're Danny's best friend, and then that makes Paternus position of being like, oh, well, I don't like her that much.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to be friends just because there's so much fabulousness there. And
maybe they can be now, because at the very end of the reunion, we see Madison and Danny hug and make up.
Honestly, I do feel really about it.
I know. When the guys get together, it turns into a nightmare. Every single miscommunication we have had has been because of the guys.
Right. So Madison shows up to the reunion in white, as we sort of talked about last week. She gets placement right next to Andy, which is huge.
Yeah.
And then just looking at what unfolded this season, I didn't expect it to be Danny and Madison. Like, this was like a big feud during this season.
Right.
And it really showed, I think, Danny kind of stepping up in a lot of ways. But also, I still feel so bad for her.
For Danny or Madison?
Danny.
Yes, me too.
It's just like, She just kind of had no part in getting involved in the drama. It was everyone else bringing her into it. And she's just kind of like sitting there like, what the hell?
Right.
What am I supposed to do?
I do think it's interesting because, you know, all season I've been like, why is Danny apologizing for the whole DM situation and telling Craig? Like, she did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I think she's been getting that feedback from other fans because at the reunion she was like, that's you, Madison. That has nothing to do with me. Like, you shouldn't have been the one messaging my boyfriend. I was like, yes.
I started nothing. You reached out to my boyfriend. I'm sorry.
Is she crazy?
No, you are.
Yeah, it was a little bit of deflection, I think, being like, well, you started this. And it's like, well, no, if you hadn't sent that message.
Yeah.
And so I want to break that down a little bit, too, because the way Madison defended it was sort of like she was on an off period with Austin. She's a hairdresser. When you have a customer there and you're chit-chatting, talking about your life, maybe it came up that she was broken up from her guy, there had been some drama, and you know how people will take it upon themselves to be like, let me hook you up with my friend. Oh my God, he's so cute. I mean, this happens all the time within the gay community. Whenever you're like, I'm gay, someone's like, oh my God, I have a friend for you. And they try to hook you up with the one gay person that they know. So I could understand a little bit of what Madison was saying there, in that maybe somebody was sort of like, oh, I know this cute guy, I'm going to message him for you. And Madison was probably like, all right, whatever. Whether it was right or wrong, it's a fine line. But I think I understand where she was coming from with that.
Right.
It's just bad timing. Are Gentry and Danny still together today?
Oh, I don't know.
That kind of never got cleared up or clarified.
We don't see anything from Danny's personal life. Like, right. We'll hear things, but we don't really see them.
Yeah.
All I know is that if there is a next season, Madison better be a full-time cast member.
100%.
Because, by the way, I wanted her in both parts of the reunion.
I think there was plenty to unpack there.
I just wanted her out there for the whole time, you know?
Yeah, right. You know who kind of spent a lot of time on that stage just straight up crying? Eliza.
I mean, she was only out there for 5 minutes and three of them were spent crying.
Right. And to your point, which you've been saying kind of all season, is step it up, stop taking naps, be a part of it. It's almost like the advice that we saw Bethany give Barbara on Roni last season. That was like, get into the game. And that was almost breaking the fourth wall in that she was sort of like, you need to participate a little bit more. I think someone should have maybe told Eliza that.
And to not wear PJs on camera.
Right. One of the other things I loved about this reunion was Andy really going in on Shep.
Oh, schooling Shep. It was amazing. Like this whole Brooke Astor thing and just Shep being like, oh, yeah, so and so. And Andy's like, no, sweetie.
Right.
This is who Brooke Astor is. And yeah. Then Shep being like, oh, well, whatever.
Is calling someone white trash manners?
No, but Eleanor Roosevelt, if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit next to me. The hoity-toity society is not a bastion of everyone being nice to each other.
Well, Eleanor Roosevelt was first lady. She wasn't Brooke Astor.
Who's that's the manners girl, yeah.
No, Brooke Astor was the queen of New York society.
What do I know?
As if all the things he says are important. You know what I mean? Like all these little like...
Exactly.
References he makes to like show how many books he's read.
Right, literature. Like, I like literature. Okay, whatever. He calls Shep straight up elitist too. I mean, and I think he brings it up a few times, the hypocrisy where Shep's behavior may come across as trashy, but that's his whole argument against Madison. He says that about Catherine. So Andy kind of doesn't let him get away with that. It, you know, Shep is like, well, I was raised with manners. And he's like, well,
actually, some of, you weren't.
Your behavior doesn't seem to reflect that. Right. So don't you understand how that makes you look? And I don't know if it really got through to Shep, but I do appreciate Andy taking that time to school him.
I also appreciated how Catherine, just in a very real raw moment, like sort of her voice quivering when she said it's kind of harsh to call someone trash.
Yeah, absolutely. For her, and just seeing how far she's come, and especially knowing what everyone has said about her over the years, what Patricia has said about her over the years, and how now the two of them are close and Catherine's really come out the other side in a much different light, that really hits home for her.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can't not talk about Austin in the trailer.
I almost forgot about
this. Right, because it doesn't get brought up again on stage. It's just the producers, editors giving us a little bit of like a take a look.
It was like him saying, oh, when I get out there, I'm going to say this. And then he's there in the moment, face to face with Shep and Danny. And then he, well, frankly, cowers a little.
Yeah.
Danny is going to say, you're out f***ing me now. Did you make that face? Like, you're a f***ing liar. And you, and I'm just going to be like, dude, like, I'm not though, girl. And I'm sorry to say it. Like, I'm not. I didn't make it up.
You have harder from Michelle.
Yeah.
Make it clear.
You two figure it out. Like, I'm just saying that I didn't make it up.
Right.
I think it would have been a good opportunity for maybe Shep to step up and say, I made that up, or I said that to Austin, or like take ownership of that.
I think it's a tough position unless he truly made it up, because that's easy to say, right?
Yeah.
It is not easy to be like, yeah, I told Austin that, because now you're further throwing Danny under the bus and right. saying it's true.
Or confirming something that, yeah, may right. or may not be true or whatever. Yeah, it was a tough position, I think, for everybody. But it, to your point, it was funny just to watch Austin be like, yeah, I'm going to say that. You know, everyone's yes. all talk when they're, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning getting ready in their trailer. And then after filming for a few hours, it's sort of like, now everyone's looking at me.
And I think it is to sit across from someone who's so sweet and innocent and all this, Danny, and call her out. Like, that would be a very hard thing to do.
Yeah. At that point, there really is no winning in that situation. So?
Misconstrued. How do you misconstrue chlamydia?
Yeah, no, there's really no way to do it. I did appreciate, too, the throw to Dr. Jackie's article.
I know.
Which is on BravoTV.com, and it was in response to the accusation, basically letting everyone know that it's not so uncommon. It's a very, easily treatable thing.
It's not only not uncommon, it is the most common STI.
Exactly.
So I appreciated Andy, calling that out. And also, I mean, look, it's complicated. Like, the whole thing is there's a stigma around it, but there shouldn't be a stigma around it. But because there's a stigma around it, people don't want to be associated with it.
Right.
It's hard.
But listen, if you guys get chlamydia,
we're here for you.
And there goes Southern Charm for another season.
Oh, that hurt. I felt that. Okay, so we have an interview with Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm. I got her to talk about her friendship with Catherine. How deep is it? The current status of her relationship with Austin, and what it's like to be Patricia's go-to hairstylist. Here's that interview. Madison LaCroix.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I have been waiting all season to interview you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
My co-host Eric and I have been obsessed. The phrase we often say to each other over and over and over is, are you sure about that?
Yeah. That's everything with life. Are you sure about that?
Did you have any idea you were going to make such a splash this season?
Not at all. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to jump into the reunion because it is fresh on my mind.
Okay. Let's go for it.
How much were you a witness to what was happening before you came out on stage?
None.
Okay.
And I was in my trailer for like 5 or 6 hours, like waiting.
Were you nervous?
Yes. I was really nervous, but I was tired. I was like, man, I just like worked myself up. By the time I got out there, I was very chill. So I was not feeling it anymore.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that came up was your relationship with Catherine. Mm-hmm. And I'm so curious for you to describe what your friendship with Catherine is like these days.
Yeah. Well, originally, we just met through kind of this show. I mean, I've done her hair and makeup before. And we would always talk about mom things and, you know, how hard it is to be a single mom and have to split the custody with your kids and that whole thing. So we really related on being both young, single mothers and all that. I mean, just kind of brought us to where we are now.
Right.
So now we get the kids together. We do play dates and we laugh and have fun. And Kinsey and Hudson just, they love each other. Like, it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell Danny at the reunion kind of said it made her uncomfortable how close you two are.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that now?
You know, after the reunion, we all end up kind of going out for drinks and stuff. And I've known Danny for a while. I was a little taken back the fact that she said, you know, I was a disgusting person even before this, because I never thought she ever felt that way, or it was just always like a mutual friend, I guess you would say, acquaintance.
Yes.
So to hear her say that, I was like, wow, okay. Catherine's allowed to have more than one friend. We're adults here, and I'm sorry, you know, for everything. I mean, for the 100th time, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, get over it. Kind of like we're moving on.
So the drinks after the reunion, did everyone go?
Not everyone. Naomi and Chelsea and Cameron stayed back.
In part one of the reunion, Catherine's sobriety becomes like sort of a topic that comes up. Mm-hmm. And in particular, that night at Watch What Happens Live, everyone was commenting that her behavior was off. You were there with her at Watch What Happens Live, I assume hanging out backstage.
Right. But I will say this. I have my own shit going on with the tweet and Patricia and kind of getting thrown in literally 5 minutes before Patricia went out there. Like, we're going to mic you. I was like, okay. And then the tweet. And, you know, Austin and I at that point were in actually a really good place. So I was kind of taken back with that response. So I was emotional, crying like a little bitch. And, you know, Catherine's over here, like, got her real shit going on. And I'm over here like, oh, my God, like, you made me look a fool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I didn't see her in there drinking. I was drinking my own champagne. So,
okay.
I wasn't in her room.
Yeah. So you wore this beautiful white outfit to the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any meaning behind the color choice?
No. So when Patricia and I went to Hamden Clothing on King Street, it's like the only high-end store we have, the first thing I said was, she always told me, don't wear white. It makes you look fat on camera. I was like, oh, hell yeah, it did, because the coffee one, I felt like I looked a little thicker. So I took her advice with that. So when they started pulling out a lot of white, I was like, didn't Ashley wear white? So then I was like, no. But we zipped it up. Then it was like, that's it. I'm wearing this.
Okay.
So
it was a good choice.
Yeah. No meaning.
All right.
I wanted to be very conservative. Not like today, you know, where the girls are out. But I was trying to be ladylike.
Yeah. Is there anyone in your own life that has sort of come out of the woodwork or had comments about your season? Mm-hmm. On Southern Charm,
come out of the woodworks.
Well, like, I don't know. Even if
all of them come out of the woodworks, I mean, you're like, I haven't met you since like high school or like seen you. Actually, my third grade teacher reached out to me and she's like, "You are still the same little girl that you were in third grade." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Like, good to know. I'm staying the same."
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm picturing your third grade self being like, well, I heard you gave her chlamydia.
Exactly. Me too. I'm like, oh, are you sure about that? Really, though.
Okay. I also have to ask.
Okay.
What is your current relationship status with Austin?
Man, you know, it changes like I change my underwear. Every day. We're somewhere else. Like, we talk. We've gotten better about not talking every single day. Like, we're almost like trying to cut each other off. I haven't talked to him in like 24 hours, but then last night, of course, you know, he texts me. And because I was here, him and Craig, I guess, went on their adventure. They're in New Orleans and living it up.
He, on the podcast, described you as a drug.
Mm-hmm.
He said you're his personal drug of choice. Do you feel like?
Yes.
Like that's what it is. Like there's something that just pulls you guys back together no matter what.
It's like the twin flame. Have you ever heard of that? It's like the antichrist of your love. Like you're not supposed to be with that person, but you can't like help be with them.
Right.
I mean, it's so hard. And in my defense, like I know how I feel about him and he knows how I feel about him. A lot of these people that we're surrounding with have not been around us to see our relationship. So I feel that I don't have to defend my relationship to any of them because it's like you've never even been around. Like you hear these bits and pieces or, I mean, there's always three sides to every story.
It's true.
So like it's just very, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. But it is a drug for sure.
Yeah. Since DMs was like such a topic with you this season, mm-hmm. have you had to be very careful about who you're interacting with, who's sliding into your DMs?
Oh my God. I got one the other day. I was like, I'll be your granddad. And I was like, oh, what? Damn, that's weird. Like, you want to be my granddad? Like, and give me advice like a grandfather? I don't know. I sent it to Patricia because she was with me when the guy came up and took a photo of us. But oh. I was like, is this, I mean, I might prefer a dick pic than the granddad situation. So that's what I'm working with.
Great. How did you become Patricia's go-to for hair and friends, really?
Well, Patricia and I have always had this, like, relationship where I have always 100% kept it real with her. Like, I feel like everyone agrees with her all the time. And I'm like her one friend that's like, ugh, like, no, I don't. But I think in a way she appreciates that because it's just like, you know, I'm going to be her honest friend. And let me tell you this, she is with me as well. And I take everything she says.
What's been maybe like the most honest feedback she's given you?
Don't hold back. Just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know who you're talking to? Don't hold back. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's her advice.
Watching the show back, what did you walk away with? Did you feel like you did everything, you said everything you wanted to say? Do you feel like it came across the way you wanted it to?
You know, watching the season, I definitely didn't realize that Shep was talking about me as much as he was. So that was very interesting. And a lot of people, I was like, wow, like this, they're really into this relationship. So I only see the episode the day before you guys. So I'm left in the dark on, am I the villain? Am I the hero? What am I doing? But I mean, I think I stayed true to myself. I'm not saying everything I said was appropriate. Sometimes it never is, but I think I snapped back in reality, did what I could to have my own closure and made sure that the people that I did hurt or, you know, knew that I was sincere and sorry. That
yeah.
It was a nasty situation.
So if we're looking at all of the fan feedback you've gotten this season, are you more so the hero or the villain?
Well, I do have like a privacy setting on my Instagram. So there's like words that people will write and it automatically just erases it, so I don't see it. And I do not try to look into what other people read.
That's smart.
You know, and at all. Like my girlfriends will, and I'm like, dude, who cares? Like what Country Kathy is saying over there about me, like it doesn't bother me really. I think I have a tough skin. It's being on a show, I've realized it's like your insecurities when you're in high school just magnified to the whole world. So think of like high school drama. That's, yeah.
So if there's a next season,
mm-hmm.
and you come back,
mm-hmm.
do you think Cameron, Chelsea, and Naomi will be welcoming to you?
Well, I don't think so, as we left that. It was very weird because Chelsea and I mean, I thought, like, and I've done interviews before where I'm like, we're, like, really friends, you know? So I was a little taken back by the fact that she said that I was crazy. I was like, yeah, I know I'm crazy. Like, but I mean, like, are we watching the same fucking show here? I'm like...
Has that incident made you paranoid about people recording on their cell phones?
No.
Okay.
I feel like pretty much, like, oh my shit. Like, whatever I'm doing, I'm...
Yeah.
Here we are.
Right.
Let's do it. I'm not trying to hide anything.
Fair.
I mean, that's when you get in trouble.
That's true.
So...
Of everyone on Southern Charm, is there anyone that you feel like isn't being their most authentic self?
Stay tuned.
No!
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Is it a girl or a boy?
Maybe it's all.
Okay.
Like, maybe it's more than one. Who knows?
You must get a lot of comments about who you look like.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly, who do you hear?
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to stay, like, Dukes of Hazzard time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking into my future here. I'm like, I think I'm going to try to go the country Jessica Simpson.
Right. By the way, your body is amazing.
Thank you.
What do you do?
Well, what do? I work out.
Twice a day?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I go through these phases. I do a juice cleanse about once a month.
Okay.
For about 3, sometimes 5 days.
Oh, my God. You must be a monster.
Oh, I'm a bitch. Like, total bitch. But then I'm like, all right, I look good. So, yeah, I do F45. I do Orange Theory. I work out with a trainer. And I do a juice cleanse from Blend all the time.
Nice.
Those are my things.
So lastly, I just want to know, are you glad you came on the show?
You know, it's opened a lot of opportunities for me so far. I liked my life before a TV show. So I remember the first episode, and that's kind of when Austin and I were like, we can't do this. I thought, what the hell have I done? Here is my summer. So that was, and my son doesn't even know I'm on a show. You know, he'd be like, wait, how are you here and sitting here? I don't understand. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I want to be humble. You know, stay true to myself.
Yeah.
And not let this, you know, take what I can, but not let it get to me.
I guess I'll talk to you next year and we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I like this.
Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yes.
To me, what's going on?
It's just like, I wish you guys could see Eric's hand motion. It's just like, he's clasping his
my digits.
Yeah. He's like, here's the thing about OC.
I'm truly analyzing what's going on here. I do feel as though it opens up with them discussing the accusation that came out of dinner that, mind you, Tamara was the one to bring up, not Vicky. Vicky said, I know more than Kelly wants me to know. Tamara went full on.
Do you mean the train?
Exactly. And then you could see it in Vicky. She's like, what now?
Kelly knows that I know more than I've said.
Are you talking about the train?
Tamara, do not talk about that.
Tamara.
So they leave dinner and they all make a pact to not talk about it. That being said, they're mentioning it in the interviews. They're still mic'd when they're in the car being like, we're not going to bring this out of this car. We're not going to talk about this anymore. Well, you got to know it's going to come out at some point.
It felt to me, though, genuine from Shannon to be like, Tamara, like, what are you doing? What mm-hmm. are you doing right now?
Yeah.
Like, it was like Shannon was saying, I see you. And the fact that you would just say that on camera is not okay.
Right. And then the fact that Tamara doesn't really own it at all. And even later on in the episode in an interview is basically like, this isn't my fault. No, it's a little bit your fault.
I also love that we get Tamara giving us the definition of running a train on someone.
Right. As if, well, maybe you and I didn't need clarification. But
it's like to get it from Tamara. She's like, running a train is when
pulling a train is when somebody has sex with multiple people. So it's like one after the other. Bam, bam, bam.
But then, okay, we've been talking about this a lot in the last few months. Is the opposite of sex positive, sex negative? Because I just feel like there's been a lot of moments that are like, you know, it's pretty judgy. Like for Shannon to say, the idea of a woman having sex with multiple men in front of others is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, is it?
I feel as though there's no need for that kind of judgment.
Right.
In terms of what people are doing behind closed doors. And I know what you're saying because we had talked about it a couple weeks ago when Austin from Southern Charm was called a sexual deviant.
For liking butt stuff.
Because he wanted to do butt stuff with Madison. And it was sort of like, oh, I know what he's up to. And it's like, well, that's not that crazy. I mean, to the point of, I think Kelly brings it up, like, I've never even had a threesome, never mind this or whatever. I think Kelly would be a little bit more honest
that's
and upfront about
too.
That if it had really happened. And for her to say, I've never even had a threesome, which at this point, like, it's 2019. So I think Kelly would have been a little bit more honest. Whether if she did actually have sex with six guys, maybe she wouldn't necessarily go on TV and say that, just knowing what Jolie has already been through with
that's
the
true.
Other
that's
accusation.
True. Now, and look, I agree that if it were true, it is her secret to tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. It's yeah. like that Vicky thinks that she knows something on her and would reveal it.
And is holding it until the right moment right. to use it against Kelly, in a sense.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Bronwyn immediately calling Kelly after that car ride and just letting her know?
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Here's why. Because it's like this component we don't talk about, which is, hey, I just filmed something and I think it might be on the show. Like
yeah.
there's that part of it that you have to realistically consider.
Right. So Bronwyn was in the right. Was Gina in the right to go and tell then Emily? Because that comes up later on once they get to Beverly Hills. Emily's like, hey, I heard you guys were talking about something. And then Kelly's like, what the hell?
I would say it's not right, but I don't keep secrets very well either.
Well, and also for Gina, it's a little bit maybe trying to show Emily who Vicky is or what Vicky's trying to do, because Emily had been with Vicky
right, lingerie shopping
before that dinner. Yeah. And it seemed like Vicky was saying, oh, I want to make up with Kelly. I want everyone to get along, female empowerment, yada, yada, yada. And then 2 hours later is bringing up what she may or may not know about Kelly Dodd. So maybe it was Gina's way of kind of showcasing Vicky's hypocrisy to Emily so that Emily doesn't maybe reveal something to Vicky that could come back and bite her in the ass later on.
Can I also say, I think it's weird to go lingerie shopping as like a group activity.
I feel like that wouldn't be what you would think. I feel like you would want to go lingerie shopping
with a
me.
Friend and be like, hey, you think
yeah, I could
Aaron
totally see you bringing Crystal lingerie shopping. I'm so surprised by this revelation.
Oh, my God.
One thing I feel as though this episode was missing was a crossover opportunity with Beverly Hills.
I know.
So not only were they shopping in Beverly Hills, because apparently Gina has not spent a lot of time in L.A. and wanted to sort of reclaim it as her own sort of fun adventure, but Emily is rehearsing for this performance she wants to give Shane, and it's this whole kind of sexy number. And I'm like, call up Erica Jane.
Mm.
She could come through and help you. She did the same thing for Dorit when she wanted to do that performance for PK. Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And then they end up in the neighborhood of Beverly Hills, and they don't even want to, like, give Kyle a call to come shop with them or something? Speaking of Emily.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Shane is staying in a hotel while he's studying.
Okay, I guess I didn't think that part was so weird, only because they do have all the kids. And I can see that, like, when you're at home, you have to be in dad mode. That isn't crazy to me. Where I thought you were going was Emily on Twitter blasting Shannon.
Can we talk about how she slammed you on social media yesterday? I want to know.
She said, you think you've lost 40 pounds of fat? You've gained 40 pounds of jealous. Hashtag frozen fish is riveting. Eye roll.
Well, that was a little bit strange. Because she did not say anything about it once they got to Beverly Hills.
But it is true that, like, headlines, you know, will sometimes
skew
what the interview was.
Yeah. We've seen Emily go through a lot of these sort of body image issues. Right now, she's on this whole fitness journey and she's lost a ton of weight over the last couple of months. And she's posting about it on Instagram. So it is interesting that she would choose to attack Shannon's weight loss and try to maybe use that against her in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And to Shannon's point, she's like, well, these are my two biggest accomplishments since my divorce. So why would you go and choose these?
But also big props to Shannon for not like doing what they all accuse Kelly and Vicky of doing, which is going right back in with a low blow.
Yeah.
Like she just chose to ignore it over social media.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and I think we also see Emily in a really rough place. And then she kind of has that anxiety attack while they're out shopping, and I think she's just under a lot of pressure. She's sort of dealing with so much that there's not like one thing in particular that she knows how to really address and take care of, so I think she's just really feeling overwhelmed. I mean, it's tough what she's going through, what Gina's going through. I mean, it's understandable that the two of them are as close as they are, because I think they just are going through something not similar, but they understand and kind of can commiserate with each other.
Right. They're both in rough spots right now. So Real Housewives of Potomac.
We're in the Cayman Islands.
Right.
Robin has made it down successfully.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We returned back to like the Ashley versus Katie situation.
Yes, exactly.
What's wrong with Katie? Like, she, I don't even understand, like, the symptoms throughout the episode that she's talking about. Like, I don't know what's wrong with her.
I know. She really does express how much she's going through right now with her custody battle and everything. And I guess that kind of stress can affect you physically. So
that's
maybe
true.
She's just kind of manifesting that stress in an unhealthy way. But you are in the Cayman Islands. So it's almost like, can't you just, like, disconnect for a couple hours, like for a few days, and try to enjoy it? Because I love Katie,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like she brings so much to it, and I just want her to like step it up and give us some drama, which she still does with the whole situation with Ashley. But I do appreciate that Ashley comes to terms with the fact that she needs to find a little bit more compassion for Katie, and they kind of squash their beef in a sense.
I almost wonder if Katie was just doing that out of like, I'm tired and don't feel well. Sure. Like, it's cool. We're good.
Yeah, right. You know? She just like didn't feel like.
Yeah, didn't have any fight left in her.
And that might be why she just like bailed towards the end of the episode too.
Right,
just sort
where
of like,
is Katie?
I know. Well, we'll get into that in a second. Giselle calling out Karen's wig when they go to visit the Stingrays and do that whole fun little adventure. Mm-hmm. Karen's wigs have been a topic of conversation for a few seasons now. So they're not always, you know, on properly or what have you.
Not so secure.
Exactly. So I love that Giselle called out how secure Karen's wig was.
Right. You've got a positive reinforcement is important.
Blowing in the wind. Karen is feeling herself. Yep, the grand dame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying Karen's wig is staying on in the wind. Karen, that wig is on tight, honey. I'm so proud of you. That thing is way better than what we've seen in the past. That thing is on tight. Yes.
Once they're out there in the water, hanging with the stingrays, we even see Ashley and Candace having a little bonding moment, a little piggyback ride.
Yeah. I mean, look, they should be friends. I don't think they ever will be now, but
I don't know. It's tough because when they're at the dinner, Giselle brings up, you know, oh, it's good to see you two getting along or whatever. But that's just enough to stir the pot.
I know. Well, I think Giselle knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing. And Candace does apologize to Ashley and then in turn really expects Ashley to apologize right back. Because we're still talking about the events from the butter knife dinner, which at this point was probably like a month ago for them, right? I mean, at least a few weeks. So do you think they finally came to terms with that? I don't feel like Ashley was ready to really apologize for her behavior, whereas Candace was kind of ready to be done with it.
Right.
But what we did learn kind of at the end of the episode was a lot of it came out of the fact that Ashley sort of hurt Candace's feelings in New Orleans and was like, well, I don't really feel like we have more than kind of a surface relationship or anything beyond that. And I think that really did hurt Candace, and hurt people. So I think she just acted out and continued to act out. And like she says to Ashley after they do yoga, I hold a grudge and I have to work really hard to suppress that. And I just end up acting out. And I think we've seen Candace do that a lot just in the last two seasons. We've seen a lot of Candace acting out to everyone. It's understandable, and it's good that she is recognizing that, and maybe the therapy she's been going to and all of the progress she's trying to make with her mom, maybe that's really starting to resonate into other parts of her life.
Do you think Chris's cookbook will do well?
You know, I hope so, just because I like Chris. And then I feel like maybe they won't be relying so much on Miss Dorothy and her support.
Right.
And then they'll be making their own money. So I hope so. But it seems like Candace doesn't really have much of a part in it. And Ashley was trying to give her some like legal advice on it.
Yeah.
You guys have to think ahead and realize that you have to set up something in place that will respect whatever the boundaries are for this is Chris's project.
You're talking about a legal document.
Not necessarily a legal document, but
they're married.
It's also a business now. So like business and marriage, they're the same, but they're also a little bit different.
And Karen, I think, was like, you know, Ashley, sit down. Calm down.
Right.
We don't need your perspective on this whole thing. You didn't even get your prenup signed. Leave it to Karen. We also saw Robin bringing up the open house situation to Giselle, which I think was good.
Yeah, like she needed to tell her. And by the way, that is how you do an apology, what Giselle said.
Yeah.
She was just like, that's not cool. That right. I would make you, my best friend, upset. That is on me.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of a housewife's apology.
That's growth.
Yes.
Growth.
It is growth.
I'm imitating that gif and that meme from... Insecure. Have you seen that on Twitter? You know what I'm talking about, Sarah, right? Growth. No? Oh, I'll send it to you guys.
Are you guys even on Twitter?
Do you guys even know social media? At the end of the episode, Katie goes missing. No checkout. Empties her room. Gone.
Have y'all seen Katie?
No.
I saw, we went to her room last night.
And?
She seemed fine. Fine-ish. She seemed better than she was yesterday.
So I just went to her room. Her door was open. Her stuff is gone. I just went to the front desk to see, like, if she checked out. She hasn't checked out. But she's gone.
Can I tell you what it reminded me of? And this is, like, dark. Natalie Holloway.
Eric, what? I thought you were going to say Kelly Ben Simone's Scary Island.
No.
Okay. All right. Natalie Holloway went missing in Aruba.
2009.
Infamously, like, still. Like,
never found.
Never found, but.
And so the reason it reminded me so much is because my friend Jessica was on that trip with Natalie. And I remember her explaining the next morning when they were all getting ready to, like, go and no one knew where Natalie was. Like, it was, like, messed up, you know? Like, it was insane. But I remember when Robin was here for an interview a few months ago at this point, after the interview, you know, for the podcast or whatever, we were talking to her a little bit more about what's to come this season. And she really went deep on this Katie disappearance and was like, yo, this is what happened in the Cayman Islands. Like, we didn't know. And we see in a preview for next week, too, like, production had no idea. Like, Katie just, like, up and vanished and didn't tell anyone about it. She didn't even call, I think, her family and just left. So I do see the Kelly Ben Simone similarities. Maybe not as dark as Natalie Holloway because Katie is still alive and well.
It also reminds me of Shannon Bedore kind of disappearing for a little bit in Jamaica.
Yeah.
In season 13. People love to just cut and run.
I know. Well, I hope we get a little bit more of an explanation from Katie, or any explanation from Katie, about what happened and why she chose to do that. Because it is almost irresponsible, especially not to tell production.
Right.
Speaking of Karen's wig, the ladies on the Real Housewives of Potomac after show discuss a little bit about Katie's wig game and how it's kind of weak, which we've discussed already on the show.
True.
So let's take a listen to that.
Horrible. Yeah, three words.
I don't know where she's gotten the wigs from. I mean, it's...
I do. Party City.
Oh, God.
Katie and her wigs, that they wig match her personality.
Weak. She's a beautiful gal, but those wigs were weak. They were a miss.
Katie need to go in Karen's wig closet.
I think Katie's trying to copy me, personally. I always like my bad wig moment.
Okay, listen. Oh, we good. No, we good. Look.
No, hold on.
Hold on, damn it. It's hot.
Let her.
Hold on.
I own it, and I think it's sort of comical.
I mean, they're free.
Yeah, they're busted. What do you mean?
They're free-spirited.
Child, them dollar store wigs.
Katie, what is this wig? Did it just die?
It's not dead.
It's not dead?
No.
Okay, we're bringing it back to life.
I mean, it's not alive.
That thing on her head. I don't even hate Ashley that much to give her a wig that looks like that.
There was one wig that she had on, and I think it was like a debate that night, and I was like...
What was the debate?
Whether it was a wig or not, because it was so bad that I can't imagine you actually picking a wig to put on your head that looked worse than your own hair. It was like the charity event. I was like, there's no way that's a wig. No way I would purchase that. So, like, I don't know how that's enhancing anything that's going on. Like...
Katie's a model. She used to be a model in New York City. One would think, like, she would know at least how to put on a good wig.
Even when I have a messy wig, I try and put it on right.
It's a look. Katie, it's a messy wig look. You know why I'm upset?
Why?
I'm upset because Katie gave us dollar store wig the entire season. Then we wrap filming, and here she comes with the Rapunzel hair, with the good yakky. Yeah. Where was this during the season? I actually hung out with Katie recently in L.A., and she looked really good.
She did, right? She did. Yes.
After we wrapped filming, Katie goes gets this beautiful weave.
Oh, she looks great now.
And she's been
check
like,
her Instagram.
On Instagram, she looks
fantastic.
Great.
Where were those wigs?
What happened?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was the charter guests on Below Deck Med.
Oh, I love those girls.
They were wild. Specifically, I think, them at dinner.
Yeah.
By the point in which they were like gone, wasted, and talking about their house that they used to live in, how amazing it was, and they were just like totally gone.
But like, it was also a little sad because they're like, me and her don't even have children. We have no one. It's like,
we only have each other. I'm like, oh God, okay.
I also, by the way, love Travis and Colin's imitation of those charter yes. guests.
It was on point. They were so, so good.
Your ex, Jenny. Him and that other whore that he ran away with. She's a little bitch.
Get it, girl.
It. Just it. Yeah, put your dress on and look good. You know why? Because you deserve it.
But yes, I love these ladies. They're wild. They're crazy. What was your rose?
My rose was a great quote from Travis from Below Deck Med talking about not being in the same room as Jack anymore. You're not really friends with someone until you've seen their cock. Guess we're not friends, Eric.
Well, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. I think it's true. It's very true.
Mm.
It's male bonding.
Right.
Dicks out. Ask Aaron, okay?
Okay.
What was your thorn?
Okay, my thorn, I'm just going to say it, kind of Shep this season.
I think that's Accurate. My thorn is Tamara making fun of Bronwyn's laugh and comparing it to like a dolphin screech.
Can we talk about Bronwyn's laugh? It was like a dolphin.
I'm telling you, the mountain lions are coming. Stop.
Because when Tamara gets too excited, her voice gets pretty high-pitched, too. She does that sort of, like, Tamara scream, mm-hmm. where I'm just a little bit like, pot meat kettle.
Right.
You know? And I really am coming around to really liking Bronwyn, so I'm going to be, like, defensive of her. Next week, we are going to have comedian Heather McDonald, who you guys may know from her fun Barbie Housewives reenactments on Instagram. So that'll be really fun.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.